Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Bavakama, daf Mem Zion. And we're at the bottom of Mevav Mevez. I think I stopped a little bit earlier than I wanted to yesterday, but we'll just recap and get back into it. The Mishnah had said, if you remember, that if the pregnant cow gored an ox, and then you find the live, or perhaps the live, right, her live child or live fetus, live baby cow next to her, so the suffix is whether she was pregnant at the time of the goring. If she was, so then the baby cow is part of the goring, and you have to pay chatzin azik, presumably, from the baby cow as well. If it wasn't, if it was born afterwards, if it was born beforehand and then it gored, right, so then it's not shayach whatsoever. So again, the Mishnah had said, you're going to pay chatzin nezek from the shore, from the para, and you're going to pay a quarter nezek from the child, from the baby cow, because that's a suffik. And again, we're holding like Sumchus, who says that mamon amutal b'suffik cholkin, right? That if you have money that is right, it's a suffik, right? You split it, as opposed to the chachamim we talked about yesterday, right? Who say amotzi mechaveo alavaraya. So the Gemara just asked, right? Why if you pay half nezek, chatzin nezek from the para, and a quarter nezek from the fetus, right? Then you're not paying chatzin nezek for a short time. You're paying three quarters nezek. That doesn't make sense. So Bayit said, right? Really, what you're doing is you're paying half of what you should have and a quarter of what you should have. Meaning, you should pay 1/4 from the mother and 1/8, right, from the para, from the child, from the baby cow. Now I'm here by Ika de Amri. I stopped a little bit early. I really wanted to get to Rava, and I just for whatever reason blanked and spaced out. But anyway, Ika de Amri, basically we had said, again, the Gemara had finished off, as we said yesterday, is that if the guy goes to the originally we said within that understanding of Abaye, again, that you're paying 1/4 and 1/8, right, the Gemara had suggested that if you go to the owner of the baby, right, so then, right, the owner of the meaning we had said that the cases where there are two owners, right, so it can't be a case where it's the same owner, because then you pay too much. The cases where there are different owners, right, and it's 1/4 and 1/8, right, and the Gemara suggested if you go to the owner of the baby cow, right, and then you go to the owner of the female cow of the mother, right, so then the owner of the mother can say, hey, listen, you just admitted to me, right, that I have a what they call the shutaf, right, a partner shutfa, and therefore because again, if it's owned by two people, you're going to pay 1/4 and 1/8, that amounts to 3/8, as opposed to if it's owned by one person, right, he's going to have to pay chatzin nezek, right, because he owns the entire animal that damaged. So if it's owned by one person, he's going to pay chatzin nezek, he's going to pay half. If it's owned by two different people, he's only going to get 3/8 of the damage. So obviously it's advantageous to the guy who got damaged, to the nizak, right, to go and claim that there's only one owner here. So if the Gemara had suggested if you go to the baby's owner first, right, the owner of the mother can be like, hey, you already admitted, you already testified at Akilu, that there are two owners here. That's what we say. Then some people say, right, even the Gemara says, even perhaps it could be that even if you went to the owner of the mother, so then still the owner of the mother can say, I'm only paying you a quarter instead of 1/2, because Damarle made the yadi. The Shutfa Isle, he says, I know that there's a partner, meaning I know that there's someone else that the owns the baby, and therefore I'm going to pay a quarter, and he's going to pay 1/8. Okay, now Amar Rava, Rava says, I don't like that understanding at all. Right, the mission doesn't say anything. It does not say 1/4 and 1/8. Right, chatzin ezek or bin ezek katani. It says 1/2 and 1/4. So Elam or Rava says no. Lo olam depara uvlad dechad. Really, the case is that there's one owner for the mother and the baby. And this is what we mean when the mission says, right, isa lapara. Right, if you have the cow, isa lapara. If the mother is in, right, existence, then mishtalim chatzin ezek meyapara. Then you pay chatzin ezek from the mother. But less of the para, if for whatever reason the shore is not here, right, if you look at Rashi, and then the mother's not around, you can't collect from the mother for whatever reason, so then mishtala revia nezik mevlad, then you're going to get 1/4, right, from the baby. Again, obviously that's it's a short time, so you're only going to be able to get migufo. Now we don't know if the shore, right, if the baby was shayach to the goring, and that's where you apply sumchus, right? The moment of mutal b'safik, right? The cholken that you're going to split, right? And that's why you're going to end up with 1/4 from the baby, because the mother's not here, right? You would only theoretically can't get migufo from the mother; she's not around. So you go to the baby and you take 1/4, which is, you know, half of what theoretically you should get chatzin nezek, right? Migufo. So the Gemara says taima delu yadinan yihava vlad ba'ada kinagcha ilohava, right? Aval ipshitalon to have a vlad ba'ada kinagcha mishtalim kulei nezek kulei chatzin nezek. about Mivlada. The Gemara just points out, right, that if we knew that the mother was still pregnant when she gored, you could collect the entire chatzi nezek, right, from the child. And Rava Latame, this is Rava Shita, Tamar Rava, Para Sheizika, Gova Mivlada. Right, this is Rava Shita that says if you have a cow that was pregnant and it gored somebody and it was a short time, you can collect it, right, from the baby cow, because again, that was part of the shore, or I guess the para, and you take chatzi nezek migufo, and the baby was migufo, right? My time, what's the reason? Gufahi, right? The baby was part of it. But on the other hand, Tarnagola Shezika inagova mi beitzasa my time pirsha be'almahu. But that is different than a chicken, the Gemara just points out, because an egg is not part of the chicken's body. Gemara and Beitza goes through this type of biology at the beginning at length. But basically, again, it's not part of the mother's body. It's just a pirsha, something that is separated from the chicken, and it's something that it lays. It's not part of the chicken's flesh or body or whatever. The anatomy is different, and therefore, right, that would not count. You cannot collect from the egg if the chicken, right, did some sort of damage, like a short time. Okay. V'amar Rav, and Rava says, "Ein shaman lapara b'fnei atzma, v'lad b'fnei atzma, yala shaman l'vlad al gav para." So basically, he says that basically when you do an evaluation, right, of the, you know, how much this is worth, obviously because you have to figure out how to pay chatzi nezek, migufo, the shore, whatever, so you have to gotta evaluate, right, the shore and its baby cow. So again, you do it all together. Right? You do the baby with the cow. Meaning shem yeta omer kein, right? Nimtza ata machesh is amazik. Right? Because if you don't do this, then you're gonna end up messing over the mazik, right, the damager, because you're gonna end up paying. Right? He's gonna end up paying. Paying more. Now, obviously, the Gemara is going to have to figure out, like, what's the problem with that, right? If a guy owes money, right, the guy owes money. Meaning that, again, that just to explain, right, that basically you could theoretically have two potential prices when you evaluate a mother and its fetus, right, either together, i.e. when it's pregnant, but if it's separate, right, it's obviously two cows, right, is going to fetch more in the market than one cow. So we say, we do it together, what we're going to do is you're going to take the original pregnant cow, right, the difference between that and when it's not pregnant, and that's going to be the amount of the damage. Meaning, again, not in the case where the shore gored, but when the pregnant cow was the damaged party, meaning the shore gored the pregnant cow, meaning you're not going to evaluate as if he gored two cows. We're going to take the pregnant cow, take the value of the pregnant cow, and then you subtract, right, the value of what it's right now, right, and that's what he's going to have to pay. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to end up, right, charging him for damaging two cows, and obviously that's more damage than damaging one cow. Now, the Gemara, as I said, the Gemara's going to ask, well, who cares, right? The guy's property damaged, why would you take that into consideration? But okay, we'll get to that in a second. You also find this the case where if someone cuts off his slave's hand, meaning we don't ask him, you know, figure out how much the hand is worth, meaning, i.e., how much a person would take to have his hand cut off, Rahman al-Islam, which is obviously a fortune, but rather, right, you can evaluate what, if you have two slaves that are exactly the same in ability and chokhmah, etc., but just one of them happens to have one hand, one of them happens to have two hands, what's the difference in price between the two of them? So that's how you calculate that. So too, if you find a case where someone damages someone else's field, you calculate how much, right, the field is worth now, right, as opposed to, right, what you could have sold it before, what you could have sold it at this point, and that's the damage that the guy's going to have to pay. Amalei Rav Acha Brei D'Rav V'Ravashi, V'Dinahu, Lichosh Mazik. So Gemara says, now our question, what's the problem, right, with making the Mazik pay more? If that's the din, if that's the halacha, right, that's how much he's able to get. So Lichora, why, why would you be concerned, right, for the Mazik? He's the one who damaged. Because he could say, para ma'abrata, ma'abarta, or ma'abrasa, I'm not sure, izaktach, or izaktich, right, para ma'abrasa shaymila. Because he could say, right, my shore damaged, right, a pregnant cow. So I'll pay you, meaning I should just have to pay you, meaning it's just logical that whatever was damaged, right, you should evaluate what its value is now. If I throw a rock through your window, you evaluate the house, or you evaluate the window based on what it was worth before and what it was worth after. The object of damage, right, is the thing that is being evaluated. So it doesn't make sense, right? That it's just logically to have to, you know, evaluate the shore and then evaluate its fetus as well, right? You should take the item that was damaged, which is a pregnant cow, and see what that's worth right now. So Kumar says, Shpita, the part of the chad of vlad the chad, meaning it's it makes sense, it's obvious, that when the shore belongs to one person and the child, the baby, belongs to someone else, right, then pitam alabal, the balapara, that, and obviously, again, the cases where it got gored, so the pitma, the fat part, the fattening that comes because when the para is pregnant, right, there's more meat and there's more stretchy skin, I guess, right, so that goes obviously to the owner, right, of the cow. But nifcha, but what about the extra, the fact that the cow's body has expanded now and become bigger and become fatter and therefore worth more in the market, right? My, what is that? Meaning, what you, when the you gore when the shore gores the pregnant cow that is now, you know, expanded, right? When the shore gores that pregnant cow, and now the cow obviously loses, right, its fatness, shall we say? So how do you, who goes to that? Where does that payment go? So Rav Papa Amar Labalapara, Rav Acha Breid Ravika Amar Cholkin. Rav Papa says it goes again, just like the pitma, the other stuff, right, goes to the owner of the cow, and Rav Acha Breid Ravika says that you're going to split it because again, there's part of it is shayach to the fetus, and part of it is shayach to the cow. V'hilchus ha-cholken, and sure enough, that is, in fact, the halacha. Okay, new Mishnah. Hakadosh hichnis kideirosav l'chatzer balabais. If, right, a potter, again, not sure why that's the example in the Mishnah, but okay, maybe that was the most common, right, brings his pots into the chatzer of the balabais, shalo bershus, and he didn't have permission to be in there. V'shavar behemtosh ha-balabais, right, and the, you know, the dog or the cow or whatever it is, right, of the guy who owns the property, the balabais, comes and broke those pots, so then obviously he's going to be potter. And if the animal got damaged by those pots, then balakdeir is chayiv. Obviously, right, the guy who bought the pots in without permission is going to be chayiv. But if he came in with permission, so then balachotzer chayiv. Then it's the reverse, right? The balachotzer, right, is going to be chayiv if his animal damaged them. Pashtus is because if he had permission, so then right, the owner, right, said he would make sure that nothing would happen to them. Again, now, if you brought your produce into the chatzar of a balabais without permission, and the guy's animal ate it, so then potter, obviously, he's going to be potter. And if the animal got damaged, obviously, the guy who brought the produce, the fruit, or whatever it is, the grain, etc., he's going to be chayv. Again, obviously, if he came in with permission, so then balachatzar chayv, right, the opposite is true. Tosis already points out over here why you need both of these statements. You can check it out over there. Again, it could be the Chora, basically just in a nutshell, he says it could be that the Balabais would accept responsibility for one item and not the other. Okay, right, he goes through, you can check that out. Now, third case, now, Hichnes Shor Lechatz of the Balabais, and let's say you brought in your shore, your animal, to the Chatz of the Balabais, if it's Shalo Bershus, right, and if it was without permission, if a Nakko Shor Shal Balabais, and then the Balabais' shore gored your shore, oh, Neshko Kalbo Shal Balabais, or the dog, that guy's dog bit it, so then Potter is going to be Potter, right, because you came in with Shalo Bershus. Nakko Hu is Shor Shal Balabais, right, if his shore, right, if the guy's shore, meaning the guy who brought the shore into the Bershus, gored the guy who owned the house's ox, so obviously he's going to be chayiv. Nafal aboro b'hivish meimav. If the guy's ox fell into the pit, right, the pit in the rishus of this guy, right, and messed up the water, right, there's a cistern or whatever it is, like to keep water in there, so then he's going to be chayiv. Obviously, the guy who brought the shore in has to pay for the water. Hayav b'no l'socho. If the guy's father or his son was in there, right, and then the shore killed him, so then Mishalom is a kofer, obviously he has to pay kofer, because it's a shore that killed the person. But if it was with permission, then Balachatzer Chayev, right, then the Balachatzer is going to be Chayev, and we'll talk about exactly, right, what he's Chayev for. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Kulan enu Chayev ashi kaba lav lishmor. No, we don't assume that there's implicit promise to guard the items. When a person says, you can come to my backyard, he's not necessarily promising to guard and watch over all of those items. That's what Rebbe says. Obviously, the Tanakhama is assuming that when the guy gives you a rishus to come into your property, he's saying implicitly that he'll take care of anything that you put in there. And Rebbe says it's not true. We wouldn't necessarily agree, assume that, and therefore, unless he actually said he would guard it and watch it, so then he's got to be potter. So Gemara says, "Time until shalo brisho." So again, the guys we pointed out, right? The reason why the guy's going to be chayav to pay, right? In the first case, let's say by the case of the pots, right? That he's going to pay because of shalo brisho, because he came without permission. Habrishos lo mechayav balakderes, but he's going to have the balachotzer. Meaning, if he came in with permission, the guy who brought the pots into the guy's property is not going to be chayav if the animal gets damaged by it. But lo aminan kibuli kabel balakderes netirusa the bam to the balachotzer. And we don't say that the guy who owned the pots, right, assumed, right, it was mekabel upon himself, right, to watch over the animal from being damaged by the pots. Meaning, we're not going to say that if the guy came in with rishus, right, we're assuming that the homeowner, right, the guy who owns the balabais, right, is taking responsibility not to get the property damaged, but the guy who left his pots is not taking responsibility. Right? I mean, we're not saying that the guy on the pots, right, is taking responsibility and making sure that he won't, that he will guard the animal of the balabais from getting damaged. Money, whose shita is that? Rebbe, that Rebbe, it's Rebbe Shita, the Amar, who says, "Kol bestama lo kabel benitirusa." Anybody bestam, anybody who's just didn't get explicit permission, right? But meaning he didn't specify any type of shmir or whatever it is not accepting upon himself. To be shomer, to make sure that nothing gets damaged. Problem is, Amos Seifa. What about the second part of that? Ichnis b'rishos balachotzer chayev. Again, we said in the Mishnah, if he came in with rishos, the owner is going to be chayev, right? If the stuff got broken, right? Also, the rabbana. That seems to be the rabbana shita, right? The amri b'stam nami kibuli kabe 11 is Yerusa. We say that no, if the guy just said you can put your stuff stam in my property, he is accepting upon himself responsibility to watch over the items. Vesu, and then you get to the second part, the next part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Omer, at the end of the Mishnah, rather, Rabbi Omer Bekula Neinu Chayev Asher Kabel Balabais Lishmor, right, the only time the guy's going to be Chayev, right, is if he explicitly said he's going to watch his property. So, Reisha V'Sefer Rabbi Rimasiyas Rabbanam. So, that's weird. So, the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi, the middle of the Mishnah is Rabbanan, and then the last part of the Mishnah is Rabbi. That's very odd. Usually, we try and line it up so that it's at least one opinion. So, Rabbi Zera says Tavra, and Echanami, right? There's a steer here. Misha Shinazu, Lo Shinazu. Rabbi Zera taught this, did not teach this, and in Echanami, right? This is a split, right? It goes Rabbi, the Rabbanan, and Rabbi, right? In Echanami. So, Rava says, Kula Rabbanan, really, it's all the Rabbanan Shita, right? Ubir Shus, and really, Shemiras Kedeus Kabil Alav. Balachotzer. If the guy came in with permission, right, that the balachotzer, right, as implicitly, or he's implied, right, he's going to accept upon himself to watch over the stuff. Right, v'afilu nishbu beruach. And then even, right, if it broke, right, in the wind, meaning he's taking responsibility to watch over them, like a shomer, right, from everything, not only from his animals, right, but about all other things. On the other hand, again, we said that stira, right? We pointed out the stira, that the different levels of responsibility. The balabais accepted upon himself, right? Keep your stuff in my chutzer. That implies that he'll take care of it. But when the guy leaves his stuff there, right, he's not gonna watch over it. He's not sitting there watching to make sure that the shore of the balabais is not going to get damaged, so he's not going to be chayiv at all. Right? It's only the one way that the balabais, who promised, keep your pots in my backyard, right, he's promising to take care of the pots, but the guy who owns the pots is not going to sit and watch and make sure that the guy's animal, right, doesn't trip over the pots there. Okay. Hichnis peros of the chatzar balabais, again, if the guy brought the peros into the chatzar of the balabais, so Amar Rav says Lo Shana El Shahukabahem. Right, again, the case is, right, when the animal slipped. But if the animal ate it and that got damaged, and Pasha says he died, let's say, right, so Potter, then he's going to be Potter. My time, why is that? Havalah Shalo Tochal. Right, it should have been, the animal should not have eaten, right, the peros, meaning that then the animal did it to himself. Right, the animal basically did it to himself. And the guy who owned the pears is not going to be chayiv. Again, we had said in the Mishnah, again, if you remember, that if the guy brought in with shalobir shos, right, and the animal gets damaged through the produce, so the guy who owns the produce is going to be chayiv. But that's only if the animal kind of tripped over it. If he ate it, then it's going to be potter. Why? Because the animal did it to himself. Amar Rav Shesha. Shesha says, what do you mean? I mean, a kinayim, a shachiv Rav. It was only when Rav was sleeping, right? Amar Laha Shmaitza. Did he say this statement? Because no, that's crazy. The Tanakh is within the Rabbi. So Hanosin Sama Mavis Lefnei Behemes Chaveiro. The person puts poison right in front of an animal of his friend, and the animal, sure enough, eats it and dies. So then Potter Midi Da'anav Chayv Midei Shemayim. right? He's potter me the adam, right? He's not going to be able to make payments, right? Based in, right? He's not, because the animal did it to himself. But he still has to do tshuva. Right, he has to do tshuva. V'sama mavazu, and that's only, right, in the case of poison, right, delo vidal achla, because animals are not going to eat poison, right, they'll sniff it and be like, that's gross, I'm not going to eat that. So if the animal ate it, so it's very abnormal, it's very strange. And therefore, it's, meaning, it's, since the animal's not usually going to eat it, it's not considered to be a halachic boar, it's not considered to be a halachic pit that the animal could fall into, because it's very, very odd for the animal to eat that. But avoperos, but regular produce, davidu da'achla, b'dini adonam yechayev. What do you mean? But by regular food, where the animal eats all the time, right, it eats normally, right, so certainly, the animal should be chayev. One second, sorry. So, if we're saying that the animal shouldn't have eaten the produce, why doesn't Rav say that? Meaning, we're saying that, you know, the animal shouldn't have eaten the produce, therefore he's going to be potter. That's what Rav said in our case, right, in our Mishnah. If the animal ate the food, it's going to be, he's going to be potter, because the animal shouldn't have eaten it. There we said, but it's sama mavis, right? It's only if you put poison in front of an animal, you're going to be potter, because the animal doesn't need it, but food, right, it is going to be chayev, be the adam. Why don't we say Rav's principle that the animal shouldn't have eaten it? So Amrais, they said, hu adin afilu peres nami. So really, the din is that even if you put regular food in front of an animal, potter be the adam, he's still going to be potter, just like as if you put poison in front of him. Vakamash malan. But the poison example is teaching us that filu samamavis nami dlo vidul akla chayv b'nei shemayim. Right? It's teaching us the other chiddush, that poison, which an animal doesn't usually eat, still you're chayv to do tshuva. Right? It's because even though theoretically you put it there, right? It's like you put a rock in front of an animal. What do you don't expect the animal to eat the rock? Sure enough, the animal eats the rock and dies. So same thing with poison. Well, animals are not eating poison. That smells bad or whatever. I don't know. So the chiddush is that, yeah, you put it there and you have to do tshuva. Iboy sema, or another way to understand, samamavas nami dafrazosa. Right? That's a case of afrazosa, a type of poison, dahino peri, which is food that is poison. For animals, meaning that in that case, right, you're still going to be potter because the animal eats it right on its own. Meisvei, hold on 1 second. Ask your kashan Rav. Right, the Brisa says, "Aish shenichsa l'tchon chitim etel balabais shelo bershus and v'lachos vendor shabalabais potter." If a woman went in to somebody's backyard to grind l'tchon chitim, to grind up wheat to make bread, pashtas, and the animal came, right, and ate the wheat she was going to grind, potter, the balabais, does not have to pay for it. So vim huska, and if the animal got damaged by it, it's a chayev, she's chayev to pay for the damage of the animal. So the Gemara says, "My name have a lo shalot tochal." Why don't we say that the animal shouldn't have eaten this stuff? So the Gemara says, "Amrei miyad even mes nisin." Right, that's not any better than the Mishnah. Right, again, we said the Mishnah is a case where the animal slipped on it. So too, the Bryce also could be talking about a case where the animal slipped on it. So it says, "Dekari la my karila." Right. So what shaila? Right. What meaning the anachanami? Yeah, that's a very easy answer. Like, what kind of question were you? What was the havamina? Who were you even asking? Like, obviously, you could just say it's talking about a case where he slipped on it. Samalacha, the guy who asked the kasha would say, "Bishlam masnisin and katanim husko bahem." Right, when the Mishnah says the animal got damaged by the produce, so you could say it slipped on it. Avalhacha katani im huzga v'lo katani bahen. Right, the Brisa says if the animal got damaged, so then right, they're going to be chayev, or she's going to be chayevis. But it doesn't say bahen. It doesn't say by the produce. So achiluhu de katani seems to be referring to eating. The idach, and in the end, the guy who gave the answer is, "Amalacha lo shana, tell you, there's no difference, right? Who cares about it? It got damaged by it. It got damaged. What's the difference? Right? There's no difference in lashon. It doesn't make a difference." Tashma, to bring another proof against Rav. Hichnis shoro lechater balabayas shelo bershus. And if you brought your shor into the chater balabayas without permission, and sure enough, v'achol chitin, v'hitruz v'meis, the guy eats the balabayas' wheat, not the guy, but the animal, right? He eats balabayas' wheat, and hitruz, it had some sort of stomach issue, and he died. And so the case is potter. Right, the balabais is going to be potter. So obviously, if he brought it in with permission, balachaz chayev, he's going to be chayev. Again, why do we say this? Shalo yochal. When we say the animal shouldn't have eaten the food, shalo bershus karami. So you bring a kasha of a case where it came in with permission. If it's a case where it wasn't permission, bershus. If it's bershus, then shmiras shoro kabel shoro kibel alav. If the guy brought in the shor with permission, so pashas is the owner of the balabais He's accepting upon himself to be shown by the shore, right, and make sure that everything is fine. Right, obviously, it's also right, taking responsibility to make sure the shore doesn't kill itself, doesn't choke itself by eating and cause its own illness by eating food. But when Rav said again that you just put it in without rishos, right, that's a case where the balabais is not taking responsibility for the shore whatsoever. So then you can claim, right? Then you can say, right, lo havi lelechol, right? He shouldn't have gone and eaten it. Okay, we'll stop here by the two dots, and we'll go weiter in the Halakha tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.